You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Somebody's calling the audio boom office right now.
No
idea. Let's answer that. Let's answer that right now while we're on it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American Daisies. I'm Arjun.
And I'm Akash.
We are sitting here eating Levain's Bakery from New York. We aren't sponsored by anyone, but Levain's, if you're listening and want to sponsor us...
Real talk.
We will do that, because these cookies are so bomb.
Pay us in cookies.
Pay us in money, but you give
Maybe
us
cookies. Maybe a better idea.
but we are sitting here in the audio boom space, talking to the woman that brought us to our partnership at Audio Boom, Diana Velez Griffin.
Hello.
And we were just excited because you have an interesting story that I think needs to be told, and I think is going to be a fun one for us to dive into. But, you know, you were the reason we didn't reach out to Audio Boom. I'm going to be honest. Before I talked to you, I didn't even know Audio Boom existed. So it'd be fun, I think, to talk about what brought you. You are not South Asian.
No.
What was it that made you reach out to us besides just how sexy we are?
Sexual magnetism was what I was going to say. Sexual magnetism.
You were too sexy. I couldn't resist.
No, what was it? Because you listened to the podcast. You were starting here at Audio Boom, and you just sent us an email. Yeah. So what? Talk us through that.
I mean, I was looking and doing a lot of research on what was out there and learning about about this space. And I was always interested in trying to figure out or find sort of content that was, you know, for lack of a better word, just kind of diverse, like interesting stuff that spoke to me and others. And so I came across, I think there was an article I came across about the podcast, and I thought that I'd try it, you know, try to reach out because the content was interesting to me, just trying to figure out living sort of in both worlds for, you know, more than just one cultural group. So I thought that it would be a good introduction and just a great podcast to have on. That's really it.
Now, we're going to get into the personal side of what attracted you to the podcast, because that's something that I'm extremely interested in discussing. But as a Latino woman, see how I just got real Latino?
No,
you got real. That was good.
As a Latino
woman.
That
was good.
Listen. I'm just going to put this out there again. Yeah. This is specifically for the Cuban women that are listening to my podcast. But let me tell you, if you are any form of Latina, I'm single, reach out, because I'm learning my salsa, I'm ready.
Oh my goodness, so I have to go down my list.
That was so creepy to me. It's You're such a creep, dog.
Was that creepy? I thought that was earnest.
As a feminist, I'm disgusted.
All right, rewind. Okay, let's get back to it.
Because
it is all about you guys. All about.
Wait a minute.
Tell how pretty you guys are and everything.
We are already off the tracks. As a Latina woman, was there anything that, like, you were, as a person of the, like, now you can't stop laughing at, now I can't stop laughing. But could you relate to the things that we were talking about as somebody from, like, growing up? Are you an immigrant?
My parents came here. They were both like 14 or 15, so I was born and raised here in the Bronx.
So you're like us. You're like first, either first or second.
Yeah, I'm not going there, but yeah.
Right, but you're
where are your parents from?
From Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Both from Puerto Rico. They met here when they were like teenagers.
Can I ask a side note question? Just randomly, I've always been curious about this because Puerto Rico is like a protectorate and it's not...
Commonwealth, really a state.
So do people there consider themselves American or do they consider themselves Puerto Rican and not American?
I think like a lot of different things. I mean, you're a citizen, if you're here, right? I think people in Puerto Rico could just consider themselves Puerto Rican.
Right.
And then here they're also considering themselves Puerto Rican. I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm not the expert. Right. You're a New Yorker, basically. You know, New Yorker, you're based.
I mean, well, in New York, they're New Yorican. I mean,
we have like all kinds of.
Right. But I was just curious, like, because of that, that's a strange space to be in, to be a protectorate / Commonwealth thing.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't think
that you're a citizen if you're from Puerto Rico. There's a lot of confusion about that.
But you were saying that you were able to relate to things that we were talking about as somebody that grew up.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, like, it's different for me than my kids, but basically just always like, trying to figure out those two cultures, like being really Americanized, right. like hanging on to your roots, it's all kind of the same thing. Like we all go through these things. It's not just one part of society. Like when the Irish came here, South Asians came here, when Puerto Ricans came here. Like it's just kind of not assimilating, but just kind of you're doing the best you can, right? You're kind of like figuring out this sort of culture and you're kind of balancing and you go home and you speak Spanish or you go home and speak whatever language and then every day you're thinking and working and figuring everything out in English, right? So you're going back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's just like a regular thing. It's not something that you think about a lot. But there are challenges, right? There are challenges to it, like hanging on to that and then trying to be like American and speaking English and all that stuff.
Well, that goes to something that we always ask in the podcast is when it comes to kids. Now, you are a mother.
Yep.
And you have two children.
Yep.
One is part South Asian.
Yes. South
I
Asian.
Guess he would be we half call South
her
Asian.
We call him Paki Rican.
Paki Rican.
I like that.
Yeah, Pakistani Puerto Rican. I like that. Paki Rican. Yeah.
Pakistani Puerto Rican.
Yep.
That must add a whole other wrinkle to the whole thing of like, because you, one is like passing on this Latino roots, this Puerto Rican roots, and then honoring that he's not just Puerto Rican, but also Pakistani, but then he's also in America.
Yep.
I would love to hear just some of what you've learned, some of what you're struggling with as a parent, and maybe, you know, if this is something that you still even worry about, because maybe this is something that I think about when I think about parenting because I don't have a kid. Mm-hmm. And maybe when you're a parent, you're just like, yo, I just want him to be safe and have food. I don't know.
I mean, I think a couple of things, and for everybody, it's different. I think that you always want to kind of share your culture with kids and you want them to be interested and then you also want them to fit in, right? Mm-hmm. Like everyone's always trying to fit in. You want to be kind of the same when you're little. You want to be like everybody else. I find it challenging, you know, that he goes to school where we live here in New York is not a very diverse community.
Really?
So I kind of worry, even though New York is really diverse, right? But the schools, some schools aren't. And
that's interesting.
So I kind of worry that you don't see people that reflect you, you know, kind of. I think that's always like not a worry, but I would like it to be more like that. I know that when I went to school, we went to Catholic schools and there weren't really many Puerto Ricans there. They're mostly like at that time, a lot of Irish population.
Right.
So it was like heavy. So you never really see people like you, like in the environment that you are. It's kind of weird. And so I always wish for that. But saying that, you're growing up like the way that you grew up in LA or in Texas. You're from Texas, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're the environment. You are the environment you're in, right? So you're a lot of times we talk about like Mexicans in Texas, like they don't self-identify as maybe Mexican first. They'll identify as Texan first.
Not in my experience.
Texan. Yeah. Well, this is like a lot of research that we do that like they're really Texan,
really?
Mexican. So, I mean, for here, I don't think that my son thinks about it that much, but I do see it reflected back. Like when he was in kindergarten and kids made drew pictures of themselves and other kids drew pictures of their classmates. That was the first time that we saw color, and then he was like, oh, because he's dark skin, you know, he's dark skin, and then the way that they drew him, he never saw it, like, so he saw this image that was really, really, really dark, A lot of dark hair, just like dark. And even he just never, even though he's dark skinned, you don't talk about it, like you're dark or light. It was just like how you are. So I think it was the first time he saw, he was different than the classmates because they were all white classmates. Basically.
Was that a tough moment for him?
I think so. I think when you read about how children learn and how they grow, there's a time where they don't know that. They don't know that there's a difference in color. They haven't. Unless you teach them that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're too dumb to notice the difference.
Right, they're too dumb. They're just like playing with their blocks. They're not thinking about color. But I think that moment that you see that is
how
like
old was he when that happened?
That's probably like kindergarten. That's probably like four or five. He didn't say a lot about it. He was just kind of like, this is the picture that they drew of me. does that look like that to you? And, you know. So
has that been... You guys call him a Pocky Rican.
He calls himself that too.
So yeah. He holds both. It's not like he's had to choose by any stretch of the imagination. It's not. But do people identify him in a certain way? Does he look like I have a friend on my co-star Summer Bishop on The Magicians.
Yeah.
It's really funny because her mother is Mexican and she herself, her father is Saudi / Indian. She's not entirely sure. Yeah. But he. But it's always funny because when she's walking with her mom, like she looks more. Like.
Latina.
She looks more Middle Eastern. She does not look Latina. Like people. So it's really. For her, she doesn't get to share that part of her identity until she does it herself. I'm wondering if your son has a similar.
I think I think most of the time he just thinks like he's like a black kid. I just feel like
as
he
many
just
of us
is.
Do.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, I mean, if you met him and the things he's interested in and sort of stuff. But I mean, if someone asked him, because he used to say wrong things, like he used to say he was Mexican. I was like, you're not Mexican, you're Puerto Rican. Puerto Rican, yeah. Pakistani, right. It's not the same thing. So he has enough of both cultures. He spends a lot of time with his family, you know, his dad's family in L.A., and he spends a lot of time with our family, so it's been pretty 50-50, I think. You're pretty much, like, you know, culturally interested and understands, like, the differences and sort of, like, kind of, you know,
You had said something earlier that, like, with children, you want them to be interested in the culture, but you also want them to be fit in.
Yeah.
How do you, as a parent, get your child to be interested in culture? What is your methodology around that? I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, I think that music is a big thing. So we always like played a lot of music in the house, and you know, we the type of music was different, right? You hear like I don't want to sound stupid, but whatever music is that I was listening to that I happen to love, because you kind of have to like the culture if you're going to marry into it. I think it doesn't come later. I think you kind of have to be interested and like it.
Right.
And so, like, you know, whatever music was great, like, you know, of course, obviously the Bhangra music we love, and, you know, salsa music and all that. So it was always a lot of music in the house. So it's kind of like, you know, you grow up and you like it. It's just part of you. It's not like I didn't set out to say, like, you know, we're going to make sure that you go to school and learn Spanish, or I didn't do anything like that. However, his dad did speak to him in Hindi for the first 5 years of his life.
That's great.
So he understands it, and he won't speak it.
Interesting.
But he understands it all. And then,
do you know why? Does he know why he won't speak it?
I think he doesn't have enough people to speak it to. So if you're talking to people, like if his grandparents were here and they were like, we're not talking to you in English, so you better just speak to us in the language that we knew, or Urdu, how they say. I don't even know what the truth is. Urdu, Hindi, if it's the same, it's kind of like a mix.
It's close, yeah.
So I think he understands it, and because there was nobody else to talk about it while growing up, so you kind of lose it unless you're talking all the time. And then the Spanish, I didn't do a great job, but he gets it. He understands it. He actually takes Spanish now. What was the question again?
What is your methodology on like?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like very natural. We, you know, I am who I am. Our family is who they are. He grew up with them.
Right.
He grew up with his family in LA, seeing them a lot, spending a lot of time with them. And then I think both of us like talk about like our culture. We visit like, you know, Puerto Rico. We have a second home in Puerto Rico. Like we've always had one.
Wow.
So we, you know, every year of his whole life or two times a year, we would go. Spend time. Yeah. It's different for his dad and his family because they're not going home like we go home to Puerto Rico. It's not a trip that you take in 3.5 hours.
Right.
So he hasn't been there yet. He doesn't know it yet. But he knows all his cousins. They Skype. They see each other in London.
Oh, wow.
So he's very connected.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think the parents have to connect the kids to you know, their culture, or their, or they really lose it, right?
I do you mind if I ask another
one?
Go ahead. I'm curious to know about a little bit about the relationship between you and your Pakistani
and the the daddy,
the dad,
my baby daddy,
and your baby daddy. You, well, it's just, I mean, you know, is we don't. It's not, it's interesting to talk about someone that's that married into the South Asian culture. I think that's a fascinating thing, because to know, like, what was it about it that attracted to you? How did that work? And to be honest, I'd be curious whether there were, like, whether it worked or not. I mean, what, more about, like, what are some of the obstacles that came up between, like, because I have some family members that married from different cultures, and there are cultural things that need to be addressed and need to be dealt with as you build a partnership.
No, I agree. I think that the reason that I say things like this, and my daughter would, you know, be angry if I said this, but the reason I think that sometimes, it's like, sometimes I think arranged marriages are not so bad. I think if they're in, you know, you understand the culture, you're going right in, you know everything that's sort of expected and understand it and kind of can work around it. When you don't know anything and no one's there to teach you, sort of, you're going in blindly and almost certainly, like, you're gonna fail. Like, if you're not understanding, like, there are certain things that I didn't get about, you know, the cultural differences I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
But being in a family, a tight family, and then you're coming in as an outsider.
Did you not have, like, other members of that family that would then take you under your wing?
And... They didn't. And there were many reasons for it, right? Like, there's, you know, like, there's a hesitancy. Maybe they weren't on board. You know, it was just like, they wanted something different. Have a cookie. They wanted something different. Like, you know, we joke around. We joked all the time about, like,
somebody's calling the audio boom office right now.
No
Let's
idea.
Answer that. Let's answer that right now while we're on the
speaker.
Speaker.
Hey, speaker.
Go ahead.
Oh,
I have no idea. Did they go?
Hello? Hey, Thomas, what's good, buddy? We're doing an interview right now.
Oh, that's one of my audio boom sort of co-workers calling in on the line.
If I could put you on speakerphone, you would be on speakerphone, but I can't figure out this phone.
Bye,
Thomas. When was the last time you used a landline? Is who? For whom? To whom would you like to speak? Thomas? No, Thomas, I don't know who he is.
No, we do.
Oh, that's a sales guy.
We'll get back to him.
He's in a different office somewhere.
Yeah. We're conducting an interview.
No problem. No problem. Have a good day, sir. God bless you. Okay. Nice meeting you.
I'm really glad that when we air this, if we don't edit this, which we might not, that no one will be able to hear the other side of that conversation.
That's perfect. That's the best.
Leave it to your imagination. So we're back here and we're talking about partners and some of this, and you were talking about how, like, you didn't actually feel that accepted by the family.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, like, just think about it. You're like the only, like, golden child of your family. You're expected to do certain things.
Right.
Finish school, you know, get a great job, marry someone within. There's nothing wrong
with
this.
But you were saying that he grew up in L.A.
He did grow up in L.A.
So it's interesting that they were still that traditional. Because I've noticed that, like...
L.A. is super not traditional.
Right. And the people that, like, nothing in L.A. really makes sense. So you kind of get used to the absurd
at that point. You have, like, a mix. You have a mix, right?
Sure. But so that's just an interesting
observation. Yeah. I thought when I met him, and I was just like, where are you from? Like, first of all, the name, the way that he looked, the way that he sounded. Because I was like, where are you? Are you, like, a surfer guy? Like, who are you?
He's Pakistani Christian, though.
Yeah, Pakistani Christian, yeah.
Which I've never met. I knew they existed, but they're like big feet.
Yeah.
I never seen one.
Yeah, and there's a big family, tall, tall men. They're tall, they're Christian, and they're from L.A.
Are you Christian?
Catholic, yeah. I was
Catholic.
Brought up Catholic.
So was that, was that not a way that was that...
Sort of.
Did that allow you in a way?
Sort of.
Interesting.
Sort of.
Is the Christianity in Pakistan different? Like, what is, I don't, I mean,
I don't
maybe
know.
You can't
different.
Speak
they're
to
different.
That.
Like the family that I know, them, they're Methodist. So a little bit different than Catholic. So they were like
Methodist in Pakistan?
I think of Methodist. I think of, like, Baptist. I think of Methodist, like, down south with
south.
Black folk. I think so. I that's know. Interesting. That's fascinating. All right, let's put that on our list of people to talk to. A Methodist in Pakistan.
A Pakistani Christian. So I was just saying that, you know, you have, like, certain expectations, and when someone is, like, not anything that you expected in any way, it's a little bit hard. And then you're going into not understanding the culture as much as you, you know, you could study up on it and
right.
and think that you know, and then and think that, you know, because people like each other a lot and care about each other that you can sort of overcome this stuff. And sometimes you can. I'm not saying you can't. But in this case, it was a lot of stuff.
Now, did that also translate? But he obviously didn't share some of those because he, you know,
right.
you guys got involved. But then when you talk about as partnership, then dealing with having a child and like, you know, Akash is very clear with it, with his partner. He wants to raise his child in a certain way. He has the things, you know, I have things that I would like to impart. Now, was there conflict or was that an obstacle for the two of you in regards? Yeah, that's my question.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, I was raised Catholic, but I guess you could say lapsed Catholic. So I feel like there's certain aspects of the way, because religion brings people together like that, small groups. Like it's a small, very small percentage in Pakistan that are Christian. So it's extremely important. Religion is something, it's really important, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my religion wasn't as important. It was like I grew up Catholic and I was raised Catholic and, you know, all these things. But the idea of like going to church every Sunday and all these things were very different for me. So I was sort of not on board with all of it. Some of it, but
with,
not
yeah. For your child.
For the child and for the whole family and doing this whole thing. Right. So that was a little bit difficult for me.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of, you know, not an easy thing to like to navigate, and then and also just like family dynamics, right? Like in South Asian families, I thought they were they're a little bit similar to Latinos. I think are very close.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's in all your business. Mm-hmm. Like there's like you know, that's just sort of similar. The ways that it's a little bit different, I think, is that with Latinos, like women are really like sort of like the center of the family sometimes, and I think for South Asian, from what I saw, it was more male, more, not as much about the mom in a way. I can't explain it.
Okay, can you talk about then from the Latino side of it, like what makes like the women at the center? Because I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm not an expert, but just like for
no,
us,
this
like,
is always
you know,
from your experience.
Yeah, all, just
like
from my experience,
everyone that's listening to this knows this is just your experience.
I think that growing up with a really strong mom and just like having someone that's like kind of like. You know, leading the family, like, you know, like what the mom says kind of goes. And even though my father was like a really tough, strong guy,
right.
there wasn't that conflict or there wasn't that, that dynamic.
Would you go so far as to say that in Latino households, you would say that there's a matriarchy?
Kind of, yeah. Because I think it was more a matriarchy, yeah. In my family, anyway.
Because a lot of, I think the stereotype or the sort
of, man.
That it's like a patriarchy, that there's like a lot of machismo.
Yeah, there
that
is.
There's like,
I've heard
there
that
is.
So much that I don't believe you when you say it's a matriarchy.
Like, right. Bro, because, house, well, the reason that I bring that up is because we've talked about sometimes, and this came up on the Sword podcast about like these submissive Indian women. He's like, well, there's women that they still, like, my experience is that it may be that the, like, you know, my grandfather would come home and then he would be served dinner.
Right.
But like when it came to who ran the family, it was my grandmother.
Yes. I agree with you that I think that from what I saw, women were more quiet about how they ran the family. Mm. Where in our families, it's just like...
It's like it's a little bit more out there.
It's just like a little
right.
bit more out
That's
there.
That's interesting. I could see
so
that a little
I
bit
I see
more.
That because even in my own in-laws, I would see like the person that's driving this is this person here. But it looks like...
It looks like it's
somebody
the,
else
it looks like it's the
it.
Dude, but it's really on the low.
Right, on the low, woman. In a way that was managed, but that I didn't like the dynamic of it.
Okay.
Like, I couldn't stay out of it. I couldn't, like, mind my business.
Right. So I had that. Probably, that's interesting. Yeah.
So I think that's different. So maybe it's not, maybe they are both kind of, the mothers are really managing. My experience was, like, a mother more vocal about stuff. Maybe.
But that's something that's interesting that we haven't talked a lot about, and probably because, I mean... Akash and I aren't married or really that close to being married. Well, you're a little closer maybe now.
I have no comment on any of this.
But you know, talking to cousins that grew up, I mean, not only are you navigating building your own partnership, but then it's like, how do I have to act within the larger family?
Right.
That's just like a whole other layer to it.
Yeah, which is true about any time you're moving into a different family, right? Having in-laws, but I think... Different cultures adds another layer to it that's maybe a little bit more challenging. And you don't you want to try not to have as many challenges because marriage can be challenging and it, you know, you have to have a lot of compromise and stuff like that. I think when people talk more, you know, before they go into it, you know, it's helpful. I don't know. But
well, let me ask you this because you have a fascinating way in which you were proposed to. Can you tell us the story of your courtship?
This is like sort of like over the top stuff that happens, right? So, and the reason that I sometimes say that, sometimes I make a reference to like an arranged marriage, like I didn't know someone as well. Mm-hmm. It was, I dated him for a while. We dated on and off, and then we sort of didn't date again for like 6 or 7 months. And then he showed up in New York, like after, I guess after 9/11 showed up. I had not talked to him, seen him or anything for months and months. And then he proposed to me. We were taking a walk and just like talking about what had happened on the Brooklyn Bridge, which was very sweet. And so it was like that kind of...
It's like a Bollywood moment.
Yeah, kind of like a Bollywood movie. And I think that I've talked to a lot of people that say that they're like ruined for life for like real life situations because they grew up on Bollywood movies and think like these big, you know, these big gestures grandiose that happen because they're really romantic and big gestures. I think it's sweet. I think why not think about things as romantic like that, you know? But
sometimes, here's my question.
Yeah.
Why'd you say yes?
That was my second question. My first question, you've told us this off air and on air.
Yeah.
Every time you've mentioned 9/11, mm-hmm. was there a reason? Did that have something to do with it?
I think I do. I'm never going to say that was the reason that people made big decisions that year.
I mean, life is short. It could be a thing.
You know what I'm saying? 9/11, a lot of people did lots of things. It's kind of like when someone dies in your family or someone close to you dies. It's like somehow, you know, life is short or you experience different things and you want to hang on to that life and have a good life and have all the good things that you know, maybe you're not going to have next year. Maybe it's going to go. So I think a lot of things go into making sometimes big decisions when you're, you know, so maybe... Who knows? In retrospect, you can't like say like why you did the things that you did. I think there was a combination of things. I say that moment, that 9/11, because it was very different after 9/11 here.
Yeah.
And for many people, like everywhere, right? So people are making all kinds of crazy decisions and doing mm-hmm. big things after that. Lots of babies were born after that, like if you look at statistics. So I think having that time away from someone, understanding that, you know, you want to have this like good life with someone, a family, like all the good things that anybody wants, I think. And because we had such strong feelings for each other, it was like, why not? This is this, you know, this could be, you know, this great thing. And so, so I said, yes, I mean, definitely loved him.
You said you hadn't dated in 5-6 months. And
5 or 6 months.
How
nothing.
Long did you date before that, on and off?
It wasn't on. It was like maybe a year or two, but it was never... consistent. Like it was not like I could say I dated him for 6 months straight or 7 months straight and saw him every day.
You had a fiery like romance, that. Huh? You had a real notebook thing going on. A lot of and fighting, so, a lot of loving.
So, you know, you date and you go and he was away and he traveled a lot. And you know, there's always like, what's my family going to say about this too? This is a whole big...
Well, that's interesting.
Thing.
We've talked a lot about how his family integrated.
Yeah.
What was your family's like with...
My family's like, you're nuts anyway. Like, just whatever. You know, like, they thought he was a really nice person.
Right.
And, they thought it was really quick. And, you know, and then when we moved out of the country together, that was another big, you know, another big thing.
Right.
Moving out of the country, like, moving out of the country for like a year or two and that, you know, that's another thing. You go and you live with someone and you try to figure out who they are and then you are put somewhere else that you don't know anyone. Those are other challenges, like a whole other, you know, you're just like somewhere
where
else.
Where in Africa were you guys?
In Tanzania. So we were there. So yes, I mean, my family, you know, they were kind of like...
Has he ever spoken about you, that there was stuff culturally that was difficult for him to navigate while integrating into your family?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, I didn't understand, like, on your honeymoon, why you would talk to your family at all. And so, like...
Interesting. Whoa,
so,
that's such a specific and like wildly interesting thing.
For like honeymoon, like you would talk to your family on a honeymoon,
every
right?
Day.
Like, yeah, right.
I don't
so
know about
I was
every
like,
day, but I definitely check in. Like, like I'm not dead.
I'm not. We're not talking for hours.
So,
but yeah, we're talking.
Right. So this is the thing now. Like with the knowledge that I have now, it probably wouldn't have been so strange to me. But I was like, like it's your honeymoon. Like, why are you talking to your family like multiple times
a day?
I'm
gonna be honest. If my wife didn't talk to her family an entire honeymoon,
you would think
like,
it would be weird.
Do you have a family, bitch? What the? Who did I marry? What kind of sociopath didn't talk to her family for a whole week?
Don't get me wrong. Like,
in
I don't
a foreign
know.
Country.
But let me just say, like, maybe, you know, like, I talked to my family, like, once, but it was very weird for me. Like, why are you talking to your family, like, every day? This is a cultural difference.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You're going to talk to your, you know, I talk to my parents every day, like when they were with us.
Yeah.
But like on my honeymoon, like I wouldn't occur to me, like, why am I talking to my parents on my honeymoon? So that was number one challenge. It was like, what do you...
That's interesting.
It was a whole family. It wasn't just like mom and dad. It was like mom and dad and the brothers and...
FaceTime
show,
honeymoon suite.
Exactly.
See, I got that. Like, I'm South Asian, and I'm like, that feels aggressive.
What? That they were talking that
no,
much?
No, like FaceTiming.
From no, I'm like, yo, check out the room. This is crazy.
Oh, the other thing was,
it's a canopy bed. Look at the bathtub. My mom, a canopy bed.
Look at the bathtub.
I'm telling you.
Oh man.
So this,
she knows
you can
what's going
see.
Down or whatever.
This you can see would be, you know, like a little bit crazy. They're little things, but they're big things, right?
Right.
It was, you know, that it was like.
Well, they're not big things. I don't know that they're things.
They're
know.
Things, but they're things, right? But if you're not used to it, and that's like a behavior you're not used to, it's kind of like, why is that important right now?
You said that you had to love the culture before you married into
yes.
it. So how much of the culture
right.
did you understand?
I didn't understand. I'm going to tell you right now, nothing. Like I thought that I did, you know, just knowing him and
love
you know, food. Yeah. So I can't say I knew anything. Like I didn't know anything, and I also didn't have. I think I also
well, no,
didn't
but this
have
is interesting.
Anyone to.
What did you think that you understood about the culture? Because this is
I just thought a lot of family,
right?
You know, close family, just like. You know, an embracing kind of family,
right.
and just something that I was a part of that I liked. You know, like the music. There were other very superficial things. I think I didn't know deeply, and I only knew that their family was Christian, which meant the same thing to me. I didn't
yeah.
know
oh,
it was any different. You know, so
I
just
I would
thought,
think too. It wouldn't
yeah,
be
yeah. So it was
different.
Just different day to day. And if I lived in LA, I would know them more. They would know me more. Maybe
right.
they would understand where I was coming from more. I don't know. I'm not saying that. It failed because of that, but I think that they're definitely, you know, that is a little bit difficult sometimes. And
it's
sometimes
difficult.
You do fine with it, you know, sometimes.
So let me ask you this question. Is,
yeah.
I have a feeling I know your answer because you're going to be real diplomatic about this.
Nah.
But I wonder, do you then feel that, like, intercultural, is that right, between two different cultures
yeah.
is not the best idea?
No, I don't think that at all. I think, no, I don't think at all. I don't think that it's wrong. I don't
mm-hmm.
think that it's bad. I think it'd be great. But I think that the more personally, I feel like he would have been more comfortable with someone that grew up the way that he did, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, was used to, you know, spending Saturday all day in church and, you know,
mm-hmm.
different societal things like
different
you know,
values, different values,
right? And you know, your outings are a lot with the family, like
right.
going to the family, spending lots of time with the family, not so much separate from the family.
Right.
Where I spend a lot of time with my family, but we also spend a lot of separate time with
right.
the family. So I don't think it's wrong. I think it's a little bit easier if you already
yeah.
know what you're coming into.
I don't think she thinks it's wrong, but this is something I've
no,
heard
I don't, yeah, I was
from
curious.
A few married people. This I think this is kind of her point is like
yeah.
we tend to overlook. How big of a deal compatibility is, which
yeah.
is what she's mentioned a couple
yeah.
times. Arranged marriages might not
no,
be the worst
yeah,
idea.
This,
that's
yeah.
completely compatibility based,
yeah.
really.
Well, that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Is that and that with my cousins that got married in like inter or intra? I don't know which. I'm never
inter.
Sure. Interculturally,
yeah.
They said that they had to do a lot of work
yeah.
with navigating the cultural differences,
yeah.
even between cultures that I would have thought from the outside are very similar.
Yeah,
they still needed to navigate
yeah.
a lot of that sort of stuff.
Seems like he did okay with my family. I think
uh-huh.
I was the problem in that other side. I think he did really well with my family.
No, it might have been your family versus his family and where the problem lies, because we tend to be very...
Well, it sounded
meh.
Like... Well, yeah, it sounds also like your family was more accepting and more open.
Yeah,
and a little bit more
yeah.
flexible. And
yeah.
it, I mean, and listen, I'm not placing judgment. I'm just saying this is what I'm
yeah,
hearing
yeah.
from this conversation
yeah.
is...
Yeah, because
yeah.
everybody has crazy dysfunctional families. Like, we enter into somebody else's,
of course,
you know, dysfunction.
Dushar,
right?
Who's a guest on this podcast earlier, had a great quote. He said, "You lift the hood on any family, you're going to find some rust."
yeah.
That's
yeah.
not really the thing. I think
yeah.
Desi families can be particularly, that's a tough nut to crack.
Yeah. I mean, they're either
going
to,
yeah,
they're either going to really love you and you're going to get it, or it's going to be a sort of a little bit of a barrier, right?
Right.
Because there's just stuff that I'm not going to. I don't understand. And so sometimes people get through it and they're like, absorb it. And so I did absorb some of it. Like, I definitely now, I understand the the beauty of just like having your entire family there. It's kind of like,
yeah,
it's supportive, it's fun, it's not lonely. Yeah. You know
talking
what I mean?
On a honeymoon. You know what I mean? Like people who love each other.
Well, you know, the next day after the wedding, before we went to the honeymoon, I didn't know this, but the next day we had to get up in the morning and meet the whole family for like a big breakfast.
No, see, that's...
After the honeymoon. Like, or the first day of the honeymoon.
The day after the wedding, mm-hmm. The next day, it wasn't breakfast, it was like lunch.
Before oh, yeah, we that's, went a, on our yeah, that's oh, yeah. a ceremony, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
again,
you're saying yeah.
Of course,
like, I didn't. Know
it sounds
that.
Like it
I
sounds
didn't
like,
do that before the wedding.
I'm gonna tell you something. It sounds like before the wedding, there could have been just like an itinerary given to you. Right? Yo, this is what it's gonna look
and
like.
I looked at it. At I mean, that, I feel, like, yep, that feels yep, like nope.
that
yep.
just feels like something that could have been very yeah, easily solved.
Easily like, solved. Like okay, I mean, maybe I'll invite my family too.
I'm surprised he didn't introduce you before the wedding because it seems like such. Like for us, our family's blessing is a huge deal.
No, we met. We no, met no, the family. That's we met sure. the family after we were engaged.
Okay, yeah. Like the whole family.
No, just
that's
like,
what I mean. The whole family.
No. Just like
I mean, the whole family,
just
though.
Like the parents.
But that's hard to do.
That's
I mean,
a lot.
Like you got extended family in India and stuff. Like
I got like 100 people, but right. that's crazy.
Right. Yeah. So So this is just those are the things that you can easily fix that people don't know about. So anyway, but for my son, it's been really great. He has a big, great, loving family right there. We don't have that much family here anymore. So that's like his, you know, that's his grandma, his grandpa, and his cousins. It's like a really great way to grow up, right? You got a lot of people around you. And I think that that's wonderful.
I'm sorry to interrupt, and I don't know how far over our time we're going, but we it seems like they're really accepting of your son. But they weren't that accepting of you, which is kind of...
Once I had my son, they liked me better.
Then you good. Then you good.
Yeah. Once I had the baby. Huh?
Just about to pop out babies. You want to really appease everybody. Just give them grandbabies.
Yeah, once I had the baby, they sort of softened, you know? Right. They sort of softened. And it was nice. And I still am really friendly with them. And it's better.
Beautiful.
So.
Well, listen, all our South Asian male listeners that want to reach out to you and holler at you for a date, do you want to be what?
Bye, RJ.
Audio Boom office on 28th and Park Avenue South. If you want to propose, come ready. Bring that ring.
Bye, guys.
She ain't doing that again. That's what I just learned.
Well, I just want to say thank you. I mean, I just want to throw out a public thanks to you for bringing us on board with Audio Boom. It's been a really exciting partnership so far. Looking forward to what else we're going to bring. Guys, you know, next week we're going to drop another dope episode. It's going to be amazing. You know that. That's what we do. And speaking of Audio Boom, check out some of their other great content that they have on.
Fuck other Audio Boom content. Right, okay. Keep your ass here and you bring other people here. Don't be political just because we got them in the room. I want you and all your friends listening to this podcast, and I want you to stop listening to all the other podcasts so we look better by association, a bunch of other shitty podcasts.
Yes.
And the way that you can help us do that very simply is we post a Facebook ad every week. And it usually had a great graphic, and we're also going to be, we have started including questions in there. So it's a space to engage, it's a space to respond, it's a space to like talk about things that we talk about on the show, and just share that. It literally takes 2 seconds. It would mean the world to us if you shared it, because as you know, we're still just always trying to build community as much as we can, and we need you to help us do that. So share that shit.
And also, just as importantly, keep rating the podcast, reviewing the podcast. Just give us 5 stars. If they ask for a review, this is all you type in. All caps, bruh, .. That's it. That's all you got to do. I don't need anything about me being obnoxious or urgent questions being too long or how handsome we are. We get it, bro. Okay? Just 5 stars, bruh, .. Do us that favor.
Bruhs with an H.
Yeah, B-R-U-H, all caps, ..
I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
We'll catch you in a couple days.
God bless.
Want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.